Hello, friend, and welcome to the podcast of Canaan Christian Center, featuring the dynamic ministry of Apostle Craig Banks and Pastor Cheryl Banks. Set your heart to hear a life-changing and empowering word from God.
The Lord is high above the heavens, and He's on your mother's knees. Oh, went to sleep on that one and woke up with it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. 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 You know, that's one thing the church has been really guilty of, Dr. Yarbrough, and that is giving God his due praise.
Yes, 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 yes.
We try to wait till we come into a corporate setting and then we're going to join in the praise.
Yes, yes.
But you join in praise in a corporate setting because in your personal time, you've been slinging hallelujahs all over the house, all in your pocket. When somebody give you your pocket, the life that you got to give, get out of here, hallelujah, and you never open your mouth. A hallelujah is in your pocket. A hallelujah is in you. Yeah. Well, you gotta be willing to shout hallelujah in the grocery aisle. You gotta be willing to shout hallelujah in your pocket. Bible says, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have it. If you receive, you don't pray for it no more. Because you receive it. And if you receive it, you shout. Shout hallelujah, you don't worry anymore because you know the answer has come. And the power to enact those answers. Say, I win.
I win.
Turn and look at somebody. Look at me, I'm all. Say, I win. Come on, look back there and say, I win because I got my hallelujah on. Lord, we bless you. Put your hands and bless the one and only King of glory. We bless your name, Lord. We bless you. For indeed there is none like you in all the heavens, all the earth. You alone are worthy to receive all adoration and praise, riches and honor. They're yours. And you loved us so much you brought us in on those shores. Thank you for sharing yourself and all that you are and all that you have with us. We lift our hands in this place.
Yes.
Say thank you. Thank you for everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Your name is written in heaven. What do you mean, preacher? Your name is in the citizenship registry of heaven, and it was not written in ink. It was written in blood. It cannot be erased. Unless you want to get crazy and be one of those that the Lord said, I'll blot your name out. Only he can do it, and he's not up for it. You're somebody.
Amen.
Hallelujah is part of your language.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Now, people may not understand you when they hear you shout hallelujah,
yeah,
but you ain't talking to them.
Yeah.
You're talking to the King of Glory. You can shout it. You can come down to the middle range, or you can whisper. But he'll hear it all. Amen. Glory. Glory, glory.
My.
Scripture says that the things that are unseen are more real than those that appear. As I sit over there, the Lord reminded me of something. And he said, many have had challenges. Many are walking in fear because of what God has told them to do. And he said to me to tell the people, get this, the fear and the challenges are confirmation to you that what God has said, it is real.
Yes.
And not only real, it is obtainable.
Yes.
But then he says, the secret is you must follow me. And he said, I'll lead you to what I have promised. But you got to follow me, God. And I'll walk you to whatever I told you. But you got to submit your heart. And he said, if you follow me, wherever I lead you, if you follow me, the promise I'll lead you right to.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We will follow you. Hallelujah. The walk of faith is not a shot in the dark. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. You need information to believe. And God gives us his word, his promise. When we read his word, we believe it. When you believe it, your faith is your acting on it. You act on it because God's word has been given. Now you have an understanding. You know what it is that he's saying, what he's promised you. And you act on it. Well, I got to see it first. No. Because as the Lord said, the spirit realm is more real than the natural. Because God, who is spirit, created this natural realm.
Yes.
So if he's in the spirit realm, that was before this.
Yes, sir.
It's profound and it's simple.
Yeah.
If you believe his word, then act on it.
Yeah.
This building that we're in, before you were able to, or any of us was able to enjoy it was in the mind of somebody.
Yeah.
He said, well, it didn't exist. Yes, it existed in them. And then it manifested here. You are a spirit. You don't have a spirit. You are a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in this physical body. It's just that the fallen nature of man dumbed us down to where we look at everything from the natural, from the flesh. And that robs us and makes us prisoners. But we got God's word now. We've been redeemed now. So when you shout hallelujah, you let the dark forces of evil know. You ain't running this no more. The King. Not that he's in heaven, though he is. He lives in me by his spirit. So I win. All I got to do is follow him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you. Thank you, praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Good to see everyone this morning. We welcome you to Canaan. And Pastor Sherrill is over at First Trinity Church of God in Christ ministering this morning. And I forgot to give her a couple of hammers that she can put everything back the way it should be. But since she didn't take any hammers, I'm pretty sure the pastors and the staff and the elders, they'll enjoy putting it all back this year. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Oh. For those of you that will receive this, you have praised your way into a position to be shifted. Things are getting ready to shift for you. It's a good shift. Be determined to move forward in the presence of God. Just like men and women that run the 100-meter race. They don't just walk out there and start running. You have to get in the block. Get in the position.
Yeah.
And then you hear. Some of y'all are going to hear. That means it's time for you to take off. When you're running, you don't look back. You look forward to the prize. Are y'all here? This is the time we're in. I'm speaking to you by the Spirit of God. Some of you have been praying for things to change. They don't change because you won't be in position. But get in position. When God is making a shift, he will shift you. He'll shift you from lack to more. He'll shift you from more to abundance. He'll shift you from sickness to freedom from disease. He'll shift you into healing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Anybody ready for a shift? Put both your hands up in the air and say, Lord, I receive your shift. All going home when she gets finished. She said, You better not. As soon as I finish, I'm headed to Canaan. So, I know some of y'all are snitches.
And to think that way
It comes as a result because you have learned to hide yourself in his faithfulness. The phrase yourself refers to your soul. It refers to your soul because that's where the problems are. When you don't know what you need to know, it's because in your soul, you have not focused on the word of God. God's not holding out and you know, hiding something behind his back and wants you to just beg for it. He has freely given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Say things. The word things in the Greek has a double reference, and that is to things in the natural as well as things that are unseen. God says, I've given it to you. As you follow him, as we hide ourselves in his faithfulness, we discover that everything that's out is not important to me. Not that you play it down, but I don't need all of that over here to fulfill the purpose that God has called me to fulfill and to be focused on. I don't need 17 cars that has nothing to do with the assignment God has given me. I can only drive one at a time. Hello? But if that's somebody else's purpose, I'm not going to jump them about it. Fulfill your purpose. And so, the church has been shifted. When I say the church, I'm talking about the body of Christ here, has been shifted into a place. And there's some more shifting that will take place. But the church has been brought to this place where it's game time. It's game on. And we got to be ready to do what you put here to do. And the Lord spoke to me in prayer a couple months ago. He said, son, tell my people that I said, get low and stay low. Get low and stay low. Which, to get low and stay low, he's really referring to get yourself, your soul, your spirit, your soul, and your body in this position where you have embraced the humility that belongs to Christ Jesus. Because the work that he's called the church to do, your purpose, it's his. It comes from him. And if we're going to fulfill it, we got to do it his way. Are y'all listening to me? And so we're in this place now. He says, get low and stay low. And I asked Lord, I said, now what does that mean? And he began to show me, as I've told you before. And he said, those that get low, these are the ones that he's going to deal with on heart matters. Because heart matters are the things that are preventing you from experiencing the victory that God has given to you in Christ Jesus. God never meant for you to sit around begging. He never meant for any of us to be a hoping and a praying that everything's going to work out. No. Everything you do has to be purposeful. If you want victory, it doesn't just happen. It happens on purpose. You experience it because you purpose to do what it takes and requires to have victory. I remember I was broke out of dollar. Where I come from, that was real broke. I love God. I'm saved. Sanctified. Infused with the Holy Ghost. Went to church all the time. But was broke. You know, that's a miserable place to be. I know y'all ain't never been broke. Y'all wealthy. But I'm talking about, I didn't have two nickels to rub together. One of them was wooden. Wooden spin. And the one that was real, somebody had rubbed one side of the coin off. Couldn't use it. Everybody say, bro.
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 Real bro.
Real bro. And I prayed. I asked the Lord. I told him multiple times over the years, Dr. Fisher, I'm tired of being broke. And he didn't respond. And people say, you give? Oh, yeah. Get in the $100 line. God's going to turn things around. Get over in the $50 line and you got $100. And if
ain't got 25, get into 15. You ain't got that, get into $5 line. You ain't got $5, just wait till I come back the next time. Gimmicks.
Yeah.
Not principles. Gimmicks. And I go to church, I love God, but I'm mad. I'm trying to be happy for all y'all that's prosper. Because we all in the family of God. But I'm broke. Ain't nothing happy about that. If I can't be happy, I ain't no point in you being happy. Everybody say,
that's a heart issue.
Church is full of folks with heart issues. That's just one issue with money. And I went back to God. Years passed. I'd have money and something would happen and I'd be broke again. It's like, I don't get this, God. I'm giving and I'm tithing, and but something else is at work here. And then he started talking. I said, I'm tired of being broke. He said, are you? I said, yeah. Change this. He said, you really tired? Said, yes, I'm tired. He said, I'm going to give you a plan to change your situation. And you must do exactly as I say. And he started out with this, Dr. Shamika. He said, pay your bills on time. And the preacher almost cussed. Did he say cuss?
Yeah.
Did he say cuss? Yeah, just like you did.
Yeah.
You gotta raise your hand.
Yeah.
But your salvation took care of your spirit, man. But that man in the middle. Let something happen.
Yeah.
And watch it go on.
With a flat.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he said, cuz. Everybody said, years ago. He said, I'm going to give you a plan. He said, pay your bills on time. I didn't know that was a heart issue until it was time to pay. I was used to waiting on the grace period. And then you stretch it out past that because you got another at least 8 days, 10 days after that. You know, before they come out, you know, they'll show up at your door. Knock on it, they'll ring the doorbell, they'll knock on the damn old doorbell, they'll knock on the door. Go tell them I ain't here. My mama said that, tell you she ain't here. I knew God wanted me to prosper because that's what other folks will say. But I hadn't discovered it. And if you don't know it for you, you'll have no confidence in him. And you'll try to get it another way. You're still sane, but you're operating another way. The only thing you can get the other way is getting it the devil's way, which will mess you up in the long run.
Yeah.
And for many in the short run. Yeah. So he laid this plan out for me. He said, I want you to do this. Tithe, give the offerings I tell you to give, pay your bills on time. And he said, stop eating out. And I thought, just kill me. Okay. See, this is what he on my notes. But I know the Lord is talking to somebody.
Yeah.
He said, I pray, Lord, if we just had an extra $400.
Yes.
Just $400. That would see us through.
Yes.
Can anybody in here use an extra $4?
Yes.
And the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, you got it. I was like, hallelujah. Because he said, I got it.
Yeah.
And since he said, I got it, I said, give me it. Where is it? He said, you got it. I said, I know I got it. You said I got it. Where is it? He said, you got it. I said, what are you talking about? Where? Give me. Give me my $400.
Yeah.
I asked you for it. You said, I got it. So where is it? And he said, you got it.
kind of easy. I ain't understanding this.
Yeah.
And he said, you got it. I said, what do you mean? He said, I mean, you got it. You already have it. And I'm thinking, okay. And he said, get a piece of paper and write down how much you spend every month eating out. I ain't talking about none of that. I just want, What I'm saying is, I want to maintain my lifestyle. I want to continue the way I've been going. But I want you to bankroll me. He does not bankroll stupidity.
Amen.
He called us stupid. No, I didn't. I said he doesn't bankroll stupidity. If you're over there with stupidity, it ain't your fault. I'm saying it like that because I had to have an eye open. I wrote out. Go get breakfast every morning. Nick and D's. Win and D's. Anybody else that sold breakfast, it's quick. Get it. Ooh, that tastes real good. They selling you a taste for some stuff that ain't good. Good for you. Anyway. When I got through totaling up and lunch for a week, a month, it came out exactly to $400. And he made me write it down so I could see it. And then I put total $400. And he said, I told you, you got it. He said, now stop eating out. Next. I was praying for something. And I'm praying for this. Now I'm mad at God because he ain't giving it to me. I've been praying for this for some time. You need to find out how come it ain't happening. In God's plan, he required me to go low. Get low and stay low. There's a place of humility that God has called his people to. When we get in that place of humility, you stop fighting. When you get in that place of humility, you stop running your mouth. When you get in that place of humility, you discover that he is Lord and not you.
Amen.
Let me see the hands of all of you that know that you know that you are born again. Then I'm talking to you. We are used to going to church and hearing what we want to hear, being moved in our emotions, and thinking that God is satisfied with that, and we go on about our business. But life has not changed for the better, and we can't even change our communities. We got the power of God, the Spirit of the living God that created all this, that hovered over the earth when it was totally chaotic and brought order to it. He lives in us. How come he can't bring order to a community? It's us. We got the power, but we got stuff going on in our life that's short-circuiting. And he said, tell my people to get low and stay low. So to get low is to come to the place of humility. Not my humility. It's the very same humility that Christ walked in. We got to find it. It's not lost. I got to come to him and say, teach me how to walk in the humility that you walked in.
That's right. That's it. Thank you, Lord.
We want to say we're humble. And the Lord's like, I'm not impressed with that. The only humility he's interested in is his.
Yeah.
If you walk in his humility, then he tells you to stay there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me tell you this. Put your seatbelt on, because this might make your wig fall off and make you fall out your chair. In this humility, you will have to give up your rights.
Come on.
What are you talking about, preacher? Again, where I grew up, you learn what it was to be broke. Broke it up. But you also learn
about dealing with crime. If you deal in crime, you have run-ins with the police. And when the police would come where we live, they'd go, halt! You always had somebody looking out. They just look out everywhere. They holler, cop! They jump out of the car, halt! In the name of the law. So we knew to take off. As soon as they said cop, everybody scattered. Do you know what a bullet sounds like going by your ear?
Yes, sir.
We knew about this. When the police said, halt! They caught somebody, they threw their hands up. And then they say, the only right you have is to remain silent. When they threw their hands up, they gave up their rights, surrendered their rights. The church has failed to do that with the kingdom. We argue all the way. He says, I want you to be a part of this church. We argue about everything. Why? Because I got rights. In his humility, he forked over his rights as being equal with God. He laid them down, left them with God. Therefore, God could tell him what to do. You know why you can't get nothing accomplished? Because you're still holding your rights. And the Lord said, tell him to get low and stay low. To get low is to find his humility, which includes handing over your rights. See, this most saints don't like this. We just want to know about how do I get to be more anointed. I'm telling you, this is the true way to come into this anointing that you're hollering about. We think the anointing is to make us shine. It will make you shine. But what they'll see is a shining dead man, a shining dead woman that Christ is living through.
Glory to God.
That's what his humility would do.
Glory to God.
Those that saw Christ, they saw God at work. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. When did he see him do it? When he would spend time in prayer. In prayer, the Father would tell him this is what, show him what he wanted him to do and what he wanted him to say, where he wanted him to go. Set his agenda. Why? Because he has the rights.
My God.
I was broke, Dr. Yarbrough, because I wouldn't sow what he told me to sow. There were people he told me, I want you to put $20 in their hand. $20 ain't much unless you're broke. When you're broke, additional zeros get added to it. It's bigger than what it is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it because I didn't like them. But I'd be in public and say, I love everybody.
Yeah.
But the truth was, I don't like most of
them. Amen.
So I'm lying. It was a heart issue that I could not see until he brought me to humility.
All right.
Thank you, Jesus. Wow. So when we get low, he starts dealing with us about humility, about us being devoted. He begins to show you where you really are. We can be devoted until we get mad. What makes you mad? What makes you mad at God? Don't look at your wife. Don't look at your husband. I'm talking to you. What makes you mad with God? What caused you to back up from God? Something happens that offends you. Judas, who was one of the 12 that the Lord handpicked to be with him. To be with him means that you're going to learn my ways and begin to operate just like God in the earth. Judas was one of them. And he betrayed him. What turned his heart? He got offended. I ain't never heard that. That's because you ain't been read. I've been reading. Judas came in this house where Mary, that had the alabaster box with the expensive ornament in it, the ornament was so much, it was the equivalent of a year's salary. How many of you would buy some cologne that cost a year's salary?
Yeah.
I get a knockout of it. I don't get some of that oil, that B-Ree done fed me on the floor. My dad B-Ree got some in his trunk. B-Ree, you got some in your head. How about this, man? For you. Give me two of them, B-Ree.
Yeah.
Wait, let me have five. I'm going to sell three of them. $20. I'm not going to wait no years out of the We rather live in a world of knockoffs than to pay the price to have the real. There's nothing that's knockoff about the King of Glory.
Yes.
We're his children, born again, but living like we're still in darkness. So what would make you mad? When that woman took that expensive ointment and broke it open and poured it over the Lord's feet, Judas and bust up in the house, you can smell it out in the street. I mean, it ain't like, the stuff you get for
$9. Yeah. Yeah.
Anything like that stuff that, folks, they have to take a bath in it. And then they put it on at 7, and by 1 o'clock, they got to start it all over again.
Yeah. Whoa.
When she broke it open, it's filled the house. It started going outside the house. Judas came in and some others, and he said, "Who did this? That could have been taken and sold, and the money's given to the poor." And the Lord said, "Leave her alone. She did this for me." He said, "The poor, you have what you always." He was talking to Judas. As long as you're around, people will always be poor.
Come on. That's it.
Amen.
It's like the Lord said, people are going to be poor, so don't be trying to change. No, he was talking to Judas. As long as you got feet around, folks are going to be poor. That was a hard issue for Judas, that he would not let the presence of the Lord deal with. It required humility. And instead of going low, he got offended. And the Bible says that immediately, he went out and went to the scribes and Pharisees to see what they would give him. If he handed Jesus over, he got offended and he sold the Lord out. If you don't let the Lord bring you into humility, you will get offended with him, with other saints, and you will sell folks out.
Yeah.
You don't have to say amen. I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
And that's what the church is doing. We'll watch somebody die and then go find scripture to try to justify it. But we'll have to answer to the King for that. So he wants to know if you're devoted. Woo! And to be devoted, you must set yourself apart from everybody else by making a vow to God.
Amen.
You say, well, you've been talking about this. I'm saying it again. As long as Spirit of God says, say it again, that means you didn't get it.
Amen.
We think devotion, Pastor Fred, is read the book that says devotion. Yeah, I have my devotion every morning. I'm not knocking that. But what commitment did you make to the King? Peter and that bunch, his brother, Andrew, they had a fishing business. And the Lord walks up to them and says, "Follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men." He didn't put no contract out in front of them.
Amen.
Now Now this is how much you're gonna get paid.
That's right.
Every week, follow me. Now how much are you making with your company? Well, you know, I made $5,000 a week. Well, I'm gonna pay you $6,000. All right. He didn't say that. He just said, follow me. When you follow the Lord, he may not slow down for you to take lunch.
Right.
Amen.
He had the nerve to send him out and get him in trouble. Cross over to the other side. He gets in the boat and goes to sleep. And sends him right into a storm. They didn't see the storm until they got halfway across the lake. It was a huge lake, like a sea, an ocean. That's how big it was. And the storm came up, he sleep, and we about to die. They had grounds to get offended. Yeah, follow him. Following him is costly.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, this is the season that the church is in. But see, here's what will happen. If we don't continue with him and go along, we're going to run right into the time that God has said that will happen at the end of things, the end of days, where people would fall away. He ain't talking about sinners because they ain't in the way. He's talking about Christians. Something happened that they withdrew and disconnected themselves from the King of Glory.
Yes.
What happened to make a man or woman who once walked with God get mad and walk away from it?
Jesus.
He said, this is what will happen in the last day. And the Lord said, the time is here. So he's arming his people. You got to go low. And to go low, you're going to have to discover his humility. His humility took him all the way to the cross. You're going to have to discover his devotion. And his devotion, he made a vow to God. Remember when he was in the garden of Gethsemane? The Lord said, my soul is vexed. My soul is under tremendous pressure. And he said, will y'all pray with me? And they over there, yeah, we're going to pray for you now. Lord, help with the Lord. You know, touch it. Touch. Right? Touch it. And next thing you know, they over there snoring. Because they loaded down on the meal before they went to pray.
Yeah.
So they bored. They ain't got no praying going on. And the Lord said, can you pray with me? Pray with me for at least an hour? An hour? I ain't got that much to say.
Yeah.
Pray. Has it come to that?
Yeah.
And he said, this is the Lord. He's 100% man and 100% God. In the garden of Gethsemane, praying and talking to the Father. And he said, Father, now he's the same one who just said earlier, take this cup. This is the new covenant in my blood. Take it. Drink it. Drink all of it. Then he gets to the garden and he says, Father, if there's any way possible, take this cup away from me. You know what I told us to drink it. Now you say, take it away. What kind of pressure is this? It's to get him to back away from the will of God.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is going to be easy, but you got to make up your mind. when you become devoted to him with his devotion. Now, all of this is by faith. None of this is by fear. We've been trying to feel our way through. Lord, I'm trusting you. Come on, there are some relationships. You know, they say, oh, we got to love everybody. There's a lot of folks that are unloved. But you gotta love them. They don't care about you going to church. They don't care about how many scriptures you know. They thrive on messing your life up. How you gonna love them? You gotta do it by faith. His love by faith. Anybody your feelings? Oh yeah, man, it's just making sense. So you gotta be devoted. The Lord said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. He had to devote himself because what he was coming into was a death that was the worst kind of death there is, which is the death of a criminal by crucifixion. He had to suffer that because he was innocent. Now here's one of the things that's going to happen. The Lord will require you at times in certain situations to be wrong for the sake of peace.
Amen.
That's too much for saying.
Amen.
If I ain't wrong, how come I got to be wrong? Because he says.
Amen.
Christ was not wrong, but for the sake of peace. Remember the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill to all men. In other words, that caused a breach between God and mankind. Christ was coming, who's innocent, that will heal that, to release peace between man and God. There are some issues that ain't going to change until somebody hears the Spirit of God and he says, for the sake of peace, be wrong. That'll take your emotions and roll it up like a ball and bounce it on concrete and then throw it up against a brick wall and it shatters all over. Anybody ever been in a heated situation with somebody? Are you out here?
Yes,
I don't care about your food on the stove still cooking. Let it burn. You should let it burn. What do you do?
My God.
When you make a vow, you lock yourself in with God. I ain't never made a vow. You didn't get saved without making a vow. Romans 10:9-10. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. It doesn't say, if you confess with your mouth Jesus. It said, the Lord. That means he's the one in charge. Your confession is, you are Lord, I submit to your lordship.
Right.
If you're Lord and you are, then you call all the shots for my life.
Amen.
I just say, yes, sir, and follow your instructions. Everybody makes a vow. You know why the devil can't get saved? Because every angel that God created had to bow to fulfill what God has created to do. He violated. God said, you corrupted the anointing that's on your life. You corrupted. You chose to go against me. Ain't no other way for you to go but down. And the Lord said, I beheld him fall as lightning. That's why the devil hates you. He'll tell you any kind of lie there is to tell to get you to believe that you are not who God created you to be.
Yeah.
We didn't come from an amoeba, something that was in the water, a clump or something. Ooh, look at it, it's slimy, but it's climbing up on him. It's coming up on him. The ground. Look at that. It's out the water now. Ooh, what is that? That's a lump. That's a lung. It grew along. It's breathing. And then it legs came and then it ran up the tree and started scratching. Then it started walking. This is Darwin's theory. children might grow a tail.
Yeah.
I'm sure that you're not where I thought. And the other thing is, God will cause you to experience His faith. Wow. In Hebrews 6, verse 18, let me read this to you. It says, this is out of the Passion Translation, it says, so it is impossible for God to lie. For we know that His promise and His vow will never change. And now we have run into His heart to hide ourselves in His faithfulness. God's faithfulness is His heart. What is He out to do with you? Reproduce His heart in you. If I have His heart, I think like it. If I have His heart, I talk like it. If I have His heart, my actions are like His actions. My motives are pure. We can do good things and have wrong motives. Next time somebody come up to you at church and be grinning, and they kind of rub their hand, they hold this thing. You already know they hold this thing. Say, I got to be faithful.
I got to be faithful.
And I've been trying to get to this point for 3 weeks. I'm going to do it today. If you are going to walk in the Lord's faithfulness, it's not yours, it's His. So what He's doing is He humbled Himself, and that humility is still in play. And He says, I want you to embrace this humility. His devotion to God is still in play. I want you to receive my devotion. So you'll do it just like me. And then the faithfulness is His. He said, I want you to receive my faithfulness. It's all of this is in His heart. When you run into His heart, He says, run into it. It's like being in this building. It's big enough to accommodate you.
Amen.
And all that you are, your purpose, all of it, everything, His heart is big enough to accommodate you. And there you'll find His faithfulness. He says, run into my heart and find my faithfulness. When He's faithful, He'll show you how to make a vow. In His faithfulness, He'll show you what vow to make. And then you'll lock yourself in. Somebody told me one time, I said, you still preaching the same stuff you did years ago? Well, what else am I supposed to preach? This is what He told me. You still talking about the heart? Was I supposed to move to something else? This is what, I'm not being this the assignment He gave me. So He shows me His heart. But He doesn't just show me His heart so you go, I can go preach it. He deals with mine. Why didn't you share that Snicker bar? And don't give me all night. He makes you be honest with you. Now, when you become faithful, wow. I'm sitting here for the next time. When you receive His faithfulness, He will require you to become a man or woman of excellence. You want to know why you haven't been promoted yet? You're calling the name of Jesus, but you won't be faithful. And if you won't receive His faithfulness, you won't move into excellence. Everything about God is excellent. Everything about God. Can I give you this real quick?
Amen.
Daniel chapter 6. Excellence is not just looking pretty. It's deeper than that. Daniel 6, verse 1. It said, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps or government officials to be over the whole kingdom. This man has a humongous kingdom that covers a lot of territory. One person can't do all this. And over these 120, three governors, of whom Daniel was one. Daniel is a prisoner.
Amen.
But the boy got goods. He got something about him. Even though he comes from another country, he's in a foreign nation that's ruling everything. They need him because he's got something. You just don't realize that there are companies, there are spheres of influence that need you because you got something. But they can't find it because you won't let it out because you don't know. Lord, make me this. He already made you that. You just need to get the junk off so it can come out. And all these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the government officials might give account to them. This is what church is missing. We don't want to be accountable. If you're going to be excellent, you got to be accountable. All I hear now is the hum. We don't like that. Accountant. That's what's wrong with you. You trying to hide your business. Everybody's standing there looking. Might give an account to them. So that means here's a man that's going to hold your feet to the fire to do things at a certain level. And won't let you drop down from it. Well, I'm tired. It'll just take a letter. I know some typos on it, but just go and send it out. No. You misrepresent. Well, I'm tired. Get untired. Retype the letter. I don't know what's wrong with these folks over here. But you sing in choir. At church. And you just sing hallelujah. Highest praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
God ain't looking for a song only. He's looking for a life.
Amen.
That is of the highest praise. You know what the highest praise is of a life? It's called excellence.
Amen.
So that they would give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. And then this Daniel, the Bible says he distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps or the government officials because an excellent spirit was on him. Now, the excellent spirit was
in him.
You know why the church is failing? We won't go low. We won't make a commitment of devotion to the Lord. We won't be faithful. And if we're not faithful, we're not excellent. If I'm not excellent, I'm not accountable. If I'm not accountable, I'm going to hate anybody that walks in excellence. Because a person of excellence is going to demand that I up my game. Change my way of thinking. We want the Lord to bless us, but we don't want to live according to his standard. He said, tell my people, I said, get low and stay low. To stay low means I have found the doorway to the life or the pathway of God. This is what God's calling the church to. And guess what's attached to excellence? Promotion.
Amen.
The Bible said that king, well, really, when the scripture said Daniel distinguished himself from the others, it literally means that he was a class above everybody else. He showed that he had a better skill set and he could outdo them because of what was in him. The spirit of excellence is the spirit of God.
Amen.
Folks, we're game changers.
Amen.
And we haven't been changing the game. You know, people say, oh, I'm an atmosphere set. I changed the atmosphere. But you ain't got no character.
Amen.
Guess what kind of atmosphere you want to set? A characterless atmosphere. You can say Jesus and the devil is your one. Because there are demons that call themselves Holy Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
But we want the real.
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor and say, it's time for the real deal to come.
It's time for the real deal.
Now ask them, say, are you the real deal?
They didn't believe me. Look at somebody else. That's somebody else. That's the one you look at, Father, you don't have to pray with him. Oh, then now y'all can't say nothing to nobody. I hope y'all hear my heart. This won't leave me alone. Most saints don't know what's coming. We have no idea. There have even been preachers that said, you need to get out the way and let the younger ones. You weren't there when the King of Glory came and got me and took me into heaven and showed me things and gave me instructions while in heaven, showing me the earth and cities and people, and said, tell them this. You weren't there.
Amen.
I don't quit till the King said it's done. This word arms his people if they will receive it. But there is something coming. And it's already on the land. And you can't turn it away. The church has either got to rise up and stand against things and conquer, or go down the tube with others. Darius, a king in the earth, did not want to suffer loss. What have you failed to do that is causing God's kingdom to suffer loss? Excellence is a standard. And I leave this with you. The Lord told me on the way here, Tristan, he said, ask my people, what standard are you living by? Whose standard are you living by? You answer that. Because you know what your standard is. Oh, I live by God's standard. That's not talk. That will be seen. Excellence is seen. And it begins at your house. When you're driving down the highway and you slam on your brakes and chicken bones and ketchup packets and french fries and stuff slide under the brake pedal and the gas pedal, that ain't excellence that's been seen. Now, this is not put down. Just get the chicken drums and catch up packages out. Throw the stuff away. Yeah, I'll step in. Over the bus. Instructions. We thank you for the eye-opening experience
for being in your presence. We thank you that you have sent the clarion call out to get low and stay low. Cause us to get low, to discover your humility, your devotion, and your faithfulness. And as we are in your faithfulness, we run into your heart and discover it. And in discovering your faithfulness, we become men and women of excellence. And in being men and women of excellence, we know that you'll bring promotions, and you'll cause us to be accountable. And we won't duck and hide or run, for we are faithful in your faithfulness. Do this with your people and cause them to equip and train others, that the body of Christ will stand up as the victorious warrior that you made us to be. Thank you, Lord. We bless you and praise you. We repent for causing you to suffer loss in your kingdom because of our negligence. We ask you to forgive us. You say the day of judgment, it begins at the house of God. We know that where your judgment is, also there is your mercy. We ask you to have mercy on us, all of us. And we thank you for your mercy. Your mercy gives us what we do not deserve and prevents us from receiving what we do. Thank you, Lord. Now I pray that you will bless the giving of your people and cause them to experience your abundant increase as they honor you with a tithe. In Jesus' name, their tithes, their offerings. Bless them indeed. I speak to the heavens over their life and command them to open. I speak to the ground underneath their feet. Bear much fruit. Prosper in Jesus' name. I rebuke lack and poverty. I break that grip from the lives of your people, even in our thinking, that we will live as kingdom citizens from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
We trust that you were blessed by this dynamic word. Visit us online at ccctr.org and allow Christ to reproduce his heart in you, the heart of the ideal servant.